Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Good morning, Keith over here, Pensacola Business Radio, broadcasting live from DeVille Square, and I have some pretty cool guests in my studio this morning sitting across from me. I have Mr. Joel Freeman. Good morning.
Morning.
And Mr. Danny Mortimer.
Good morning.
Who brought some fritters that we are all going to dig in here when we get done. And Miss Pam Hat Olay.
Good morning.
I had to throw that out there. You know that.
Olay.
So let's get into, you know, you guys are Car Payment Solutions, and Pam's here from Pennair. And I just want to get into whoever wants to kick it off first, because I know there's a lot that you guys do that most people don't know that you do. So let's tell them.
Well, you know, in our industry right now, there is something going on called EMV. Do you know what that is?
Oh, we really know what that is.
Yeah. You're issuing cards.
Yes.
So you're
putting
the chips in them. Yeah.
Yes.
And EMV is a big question for a lot of merchants. It is for card holders. You know, they want to know what to do with it. They're anxious to stick it in. Where do I stick this?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what does that really mean? And, well, EMV stands for Euro MasterCard Visa. It's a security system developed over in Europe, and Canada has been using it too for several years.
Yeah.
Now. And a lot of success in cutting down fraud and that sort of thing.
Go ahead.
And so, yeah, it's just now being introduced into.
Yeah, well, that's where I was about to jump in. Over there, and we were just talking about some of the world travels that we've all had, but it's been over there for years. In fact, when I had taken my American card over there, they almost wouldn't even let you use it because it didn't have a chip in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're a little slow coming up, you know, on the curve.
That's all right. So. That's all right.
Well, the nice thing about it is it provides that extra layer of security, and there's a different code every time you insert it. So there is a lot less opportunity for fraud to happen. And it's so important today to protect your identity. People have issues all the time, and financial institutions are doing everything they can. I know we are very safe and secure. As a matter of fact, we're about to receive our 100th quarter in a row of a 5-star Bauer rating. That's 25 years of safety and security.
Yeah.
And we are always constantly trying to be up on technology. And so it's very important for the consumer to understand this. And I noticed that we've issued it with our credit cards, and we're getting ready to start doing our debit cards also. And I know merchants are starting to onboard it a lot more often. And even the staff at the retailers are starting to be more engaged and understand how it works. I know I've had to do a lot of educating myself when I use mine. So
Pam gets on the issuing side. You're on the side that's for the consumer, basically, whether it's the business or the actual end user, right?
Yeah, we're dealing with the merchants, trying to get ready for the hardware transitions and all of that takes place in accepting these cards. Mm-hmm. We're literally up to our earlobes and alligators right now, trying to keep up with that demand. And there's a lot of questions.
Yeah, I was supposed to say, what's the business owner say? You know, I know I can't be down a credit card machine for less than 30 seconds without freaking out, you know?
Well, so, first of all, October 1 was the official, what they call liability shift date.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the deadline for that. And all that really means is there's a thing in our industry, which is our big, bad 4-letter word called chargeback. Nobody likes, you know, and that's when a card holder can call their bank in 3 to 6 months period of time and say this charge was not authorized.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bank will take the side of the merchant immediately and refund their money until otherwise proven.
Right.
And so this has been an ongoing process, and some industries are more susceptible to these chargebacks than others.
Sure.
But what it means for a merchant is, or has been, is they just produce the right documents, the signed receipt or whatever. And usually the money gets back, put back in. If they can't produce a signed receipt, then the consumer wins and keeps the money. Now the liability shift means, as of October 1, if a chargeback occurs, and that chip and that card was not taken through the EMV process, then the merchant has no leg to stand on.
Right.
Period. And
so you got a tracking number basically, as opposed to I don't have to go find the receipt anymore.
Right.
I've got the code in the chip.
Exactly. So that's been that's the big thing to understand for merchants, really.
Yeah.
They want to know, well, it's a law. It's this. You're not breaking the law, because the strip on the back of the card is going to remain there for a good 5 or 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Until this is completely transitioned over.
Yeah.
This whole process, you know, coast to coast. But the liability shift really means that the chargeback. So
sure.
There is another problem with it, however. In the restaurant industry, for example, this really affects them because there's a lot of tipping going on,
yeah.
Right? Well, in the traditional sense of credit card acceptance, you put your tip on in a restaurant. They go back after the fact and they reconcile that
yeah.
transaction. You cannot reconcile an EMV transaction.
So that's you got to ask for the tip up front?
Kind of awkward.
Yeah. That's a little weird.
So I'm going to do a good job.
Yeah.
Restaurants aren't really wanting to do this.
I don't blame them. I mean, yeah. The consumer's not wanting you to do it either. I can tell you that.
No, they don't. It's a tacky way of going about
yeah.
what everyone's used to. So they're not really that concerned about it in their industry
yeah.
Right now until that gets, and they are working on it. The industry itself.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask is, yeah. You know, obviously this is going to be a need to change. I mean, let's face it, it's a huge industry to provide that service for.
It's very close. In some cases, it's actually working right now.
Yeah.
But until it gets completely smoothed out, you know, with all the bugs out of it, we were not going to see a whole lot of restaurants jumping on board with that right away.
It's an educational thing. I mean, it's people, once they understand it, they understand it. But, I mean, talking about our world travels, what was your experience when you were in, say, the UK? How do they handle it in the restaurants there?
Well, they got the little portable ones. So they would you stick your card in, and then they'd hand it back to the card holder, who would then, most of the time, it was sort of forced to do debit.
Yeah.
So you could include everything in with that debit charge. Since my cards wouldn't always work, Dad was usually taking care of that because that's who I've been over there traveling
right.
with. But, and he would most of the time use cash for those kinds of purchases.
Well, and I guess it's kind of like the Square, you know, you swipe, because I've worked with vendors before where I've, you know, made a purchase and they have it on their phone.
Yeah.
You swipe with the Square, and then you have the option of adding at that time.
Right. The tip.
Yeah. So, because it's in front of you, you're not having. So it's just the same concept. It's just a little different.
Yeah, you got to get used to it.
Yeah.
An exciting thing in the industry now is there's some POS systems and stuff where are coming out where they're cloud-based, Wi-Fi-based.
Yeah.
And so a lot more of the systems are coming out where they don't have to take it back to the register, that they can bring it.
You
can
just
do
it right there at the table. That's what they would do with the bars and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think that's a lot more easier transition for the consumer, which makes the restaurant a little bit happier.
And how cool is that? The card never gets taken away from the table now.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Right.
So
an extra layer of security.
Yep.
Well, and so that's what you're going to be doing for the next, like, what, year and a half, 2 years?
We have really, we knew this was coming for some time, October 1st, and we've been trying to tell merchants, and they're like, you know. And then it comes, and now suddenly I was at the UPS store yesterday, mm-hmm. shipping stuff, when you called me.
Yeah.
And, and it was crazy. He said, well, you haven't seen anything. Wait till December 20th gets here.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same sort of thinking. No one has really wanted to do anything with this EMV stuff until it's right on top of them.
Yeah.
And so we're just more than we can handle right now and keeping up with that. But we love the calls and we love the educational process of what all this is.
So how do I know, I guess, how do I get to you guys? Because, I mean, let's face it, there's tons of card solutions out there, right? And there's other companies that we're just not going to mention right now, but and then there's banks that are starting to get into this kind of stuff, right?
Right.
So how do we get to you guys and why your company?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, I'd lead the answer with that, with this. In choosing a good merchant processing solution, I would pick an ISO, which stands for Independent Sales Organization, over a bank. Sorry.
I'm a credit union.
Pam safe here.
I know. Unions, we're a credit union.
Yeah. They're not really into that really as much as banks are trying to be.
Yeah.
Banks are great for mortgages. Credit unions are great for mortgages.
Credit unions are great for everything. Yes. We're a full service financial provider.
Well, that industry specializes in the lending and the checking accounts,
sure.
which is what they're great at. Not so much when it comes to merchant processing. They don't do the merchant processing. They farm it out. So they become a third, a middleman in that process.
Right, which usually adds an extra charge, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. So we are, Card Payment Solutions is a direct wholesale ISO
right.
merchant processor. So you're going to get your best rates with us. And one other thing you want to look for in a company is their BBB rating. And their social media rating.
Yeah.
You know, what are people saying about them? So I would highly recommend before you do business with anybody, Google them.
Yeah.
Do ripoff report. What's it called? Ripoff report.
I don't know. I haven't seen that one.
Anyway, it's a great source. You can just start typing it and it'll pop up. You can plug in any company in there. It'll tell you what kind of complaints they've had on
yeah.
them and that sort of thing. We have an A+ rating with the BBB. We are very ethical, and we're proud of that. I've been in the business for quite some time,
yeah.
and Card Payment Solutions is not my first company, but the way it has worked out will be my last.
Yeah,
because I am on that side of the coin, and much like many of the merchants out there, if you're listening, you'll understand what I mean. You've been through more than one. If you've been in business for any length of time, you've been through more than one or two or three, maybe even more than a half a dozen merchant processing companies
mm-hmm.
because you're looking for who's going to answer your questions right, who's going to be
yep.
responsive, who's going to...
Who's going to give you the 0.5% lower rate.
Well, there are those out there that are looking
yeah.
for that, but they're willing to pay for customer service.
Yeah.
You know, you can only go so far, so low, you know, and becomes a race to zero.
Yeah.
And so there is value in what a good ISO will bring to the table. So on the other side of that is a rep. Now, you know, I've been through my share of companies that aren't treating me right, aren't treating customers right.
Yeah.
So there's impropriety on both sides of the ship.
Right. And you need somebody you can get a hold of. I've been in the restaurant industry for many years
yeah.
on both sides of the working and the owning and the picking up the phone because the credit card machines are down and not being able to get your guy or your company or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree. We would pay that little bit of extra or cut that competition out because I knew who I was dealing with.
Yeah.
So, and we were talking about this yesterday. I know Danny is Danny and I know Joel is Joel and I know that you guys could do that stuff. I didn't even know the name of the company that you were representing because you were just that focused on the service and the product.
Right.
You know?
And merchants really don't remember too much who the company is. They
yeah.
remember who their rep was.
Yeah.
And if they don't call back, you know, they're the ones bearing the burden.
Sure.
On a Friday night when your POS system goes down.
Yeah.
You know,
at 1 a.m. when your bar's full of, you know,
and you're trying
happy
to,
people.
You're trying to reconcile your tips or whatever you're trying
yeah.
to do. You want to go home. You don't get a call back. That's not good. And you need somebody. That's another very important facet to finding a merchant processor you can trust is someone who's local.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be dealing with a company out of California necessarily where your rep is. It's okay if the company's there, but the rep needs to be where they are. We happen to be based right here in the Southeast, and we have a very strong foothold, very good reputation. We're very proud of that.
And there's a bunch of you guys. I mean, I know there's Joel, but you've got three or four other people, like within probably, what, 50 miles from here?
Oh, it's 25.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Right here in town. And all over the Southeast, we've got well over 100 agents cross country. But like I said, we focus primarily on the Eastern Seaboard,
right
here in the Southeast. Yeah.
So let me ask, because I've seen a lot of this, and I've been really hesitant to do it. But where does you guys fall with the people that can just pay with their phones and stuff, or online? I mean, mm-hmm. do you guys offer pieces that go into that?
We do. We have all the solutions. We've got e-commerce solutions. We've got we're talking about mobile, being mobile.
Yeah. I'm really hesitant with that. Oh, do you use it? Do you use your mm-hmm. phone to pay?
Yeah, we're testing Apple Pay right now. We're getting ready to go live here pretty soon.
Yeah, this one's got the Google thing. It just kind of tweaks me out.
Well, you have to understand that there are certain measures that are being taken that I understand the hesitancy.
But yeah.
I wasn't real big on shopping on my computer when it first became available.
True.
But you do now, right?
Yeah.
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 So,
and I shop on the phone, too. I just something about the whole swiping it in front of some other
yeah.
receiver and all of a sudden money's from your account.
Yeah.
I guess it's no different than anything else. But
well, you think of this as a credit card. Really.
Sure.
And
that's dangerous for me, though.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I used to be able, I could leave the credit cards at home, but when the phone's with you, you know, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay.
We have excellent mobile solutions. What you want to, the one thing when you say that, we were talking about this before we went on air, the Square,
yeah.
I believe, and how that kind of works. One of our competitors, but not always, because
right.
they do fill a certain niche out there. You know, babysitters, teenage lawnmower guy, the swamp meat, mm-hmm. you know,
the food truck guy, mm-hmm. yeah,
maybe Cal some Fox of those. Market,
yeah.
But when their volume gets to be a certain level, and there, here's the way I put it. I define it as if your business, no matter if you're a food truck guy or you're a lawn guy,
sure.
If your business is literally making a living, not supplying just extra income,
mm-hmm.
but making a living for you, which means your volume is at a certain point, you really shouldn't be using these easy fixes like the Square, PayPal, those kind of things, because they're really not well suited price-wise, price point-wise,
mm-hmm.
and other reasons. Because, like, well, try and call the Square's customer service.
I've never had to, so I couldn't tell you.
Well, if you did enough volume, something would come up that you would.
Yeah.
And I'll
take the volume, though. I mean, I welcome that opportunity.
Right. Yeah, they just, the only way you deal with them is through email.
Yeah.
So that's a drawback. Especially if you couldn't imagine a restaurant doing $1,000 a night, you know, using the Square, and something goes down and I got to email these guys.
Right.
And maybe get a response in a few days.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not, but they do,
money.
They do have a place, these pieces, but we have a better solution for those that are really moving some volume, and our rates are going to be lower. They're going to reflect better in those scenarios.
Which I mean, to the small business owner, even to the large business owner, means a lot.
It does.
I know, you know, and this is probably 10, 15 years ago, which is nowhere near where the technology is now, but you know, you would get charged a different rate for every credit card company. So you had 3% from MasterCard, American Express. I knew it was, American Express was always the highest. I knew that, you know, and you had whatever percent from Visa. And, you know, you didn't think about it very much until the next guy would come in or somebody would show you, a 0.5% here, 0.5% there. But that stuff kind of adds up after a while. And that used to be the main driver, I know, that I would see for people to just say there's no way,
right?
You know, so, and you're saying that Square and PayPal and those kinds of, it's a higher rate.
It is.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're doing sporadic transactions,
yeah, go for it.
It's fine, because you know, when you split a nickel in half, it doesn't make a big splash.
Yeah.
When you split a $100 bill in half, you get somebody's attention.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Yeah.
So where next? For all of this stuff.
Wow. You know, technology is leading a lot of this. The consumers are leading a lot of this because they have chosen, and it is proven that they just aren't willing to carry cash anymore. You know, I get kind of growled at by a lot of merchants because, it's your fault. It's really not our fault. The consumers don't want to carry cash.
Yeah.
You know,
because they'll spend it. It's like leaving the credit cards at home, man.
Well, and it's, you know, I've heard people comment, well, cash is dirty. Okay. You know, it's never bothered me. But it is safer in respect. You know, muggings have gone down.
Yeah, true.
You know?
But identity theft and cybercrime have gone up, so.
And they're taking steps to remedy that. But where is it going? It's going to a lot more use of electronic transfer of funds on just about every aspect. We get these trade publications,
mm-hmm.
and I just recently read that overall that the credit and debit card transactions have exceeded cash sales, which includes all AR type, you know, mm-hmm. accounts receivable,
mm-hmm.
Checks, and even businesses that do business to business transactions still receive cash and AR type business models.
Mm-hmm.
More and more of those are going to using credit cards.
Yeah.
And cash and credit or debit and credit transactions have exceeded cash.
Yeah. Well, and you're seeing that on your side. I mean, how much is yours is just an electronic signal at this point.
Just,
you know?
just alone with measuring member behavior.
Yeah.
We have members versus customers. And looking at that, we are seeing a exponential increase in people accessing their information on their accounts via their phone or tablet, and then, and decreasing on the desktop.
Yeah.
Because people are mobile. I mean, face it, we're all busy. We all have a lot to do. We're all trying to keep our head above water.
Yeah.
To
standing online at the credit union or the bank is.
Yeah. So if I can, if I can do a transaction while I'm at a stoplight, you know, on my way to my next business meeting, that makes my life a little easier.
Yeah.
Or if I'm sitting in line waiting to pick up my kids, then I can do transfer funds or pay bills while in multitask. I mean, this is our society. So,
and this is the reason that there's no cash in your pocket anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, my wife and I did a road trip one time from the East Coast all the way to Utah and back. It took a little over 2 weeks to do this. We took two 20s and we came back with a lot of change.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the rest was electronic.
Right. And most of the time I used cash when I could have used my card, but I'm in the industry. So I felt guilty stopping and getting gas and going inside and getting a soda and a candy bar and using my credit card because I know what that guy pays for that transaction.
Yeah.
So I'd break out my 20 and because I just have a heart.
Yeah.
But I could have come back with two 20s.
Yeah. So walk me through real quick, walk me through the process of how you guys would either a new customer, somebody who has an existing account. How does this work? How do I know that I need to call Danny or Joel and say, take a look at my stuff?
Well, that's a really good question. A lot of times I'll be eating at a restaurant somewhere I'm not doing business. Mm-hmm. And as I can't help it, it's occupational hazard. I have to ask when I'm leaving, when I'm doing on the checkout thing.
I do the same thing. I'm like, hey, you want to come talk about what you
did?
Right. I do. I mean, I drop cards everywhere.
Exactly. You know, and if you don't, well, you ought to pick another business, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I always ask, I point at the little machine. I say, what's your relationship like with those guys? 9 times out of 10, they roll their eyes or growl or, you know, make some funky noise. And it's because most people either don't trust or just don't have a great relationship with their rep and their people because they've had experiences. They haven't called back. They haven't been timely. We pride ourselves on that. So, and if they, and on the rare occasion, I get, well, I love these people. Well, I want to know who they are.
Sure.
Because I want to know who the good guys are in the industry.
Right.
You know, because I like to identify who they are, and I like to rub shoulders with them. And I have lots of friendly competitors that do what I do, and I want to know who these folks are. But most of the time, I don't. So frustration will lead that.
Yeah.
Will lead that need usually for a merchant to want to, you know, look for someone they can trust. Here's another good thing that a merchant needs to understand. Small to medium-sized businesses are wearing so many hats.
Yeah.
And so they think they have to make all the decisions and be everything, have the S on their chest.
Right.
When really, if you're a restaurateur, your specialty is baking, cooking, whatever that is, right?
Yeah.
It's not running the merchant processing part. It's not many other aspects. So you surround yourself with people that you can trust and rely on them to let them make them decisions and develop that relationship that way.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted. Most of our clientele, merchant clientele, we have a wonderful relationship with. We're friends. We go to the same clubs together. We have birthdays together.
Yeah.
We're like family. You know, we're not necessarily going to go over at Thanksgiving at each other's house, but
you can come to my house as long as you bring food, because I don't want to cook.
But we have a great relationship in that respect, and they know, and we always ask about each other's children, things like that, because they want to feel comfortable with who they're doing business with, and who is handling the electronic transfer of their funds.
Yeah. And I could so some of the, I would think, good practices I know that I've seen is. One, you know your guy's name. So when you ask somebody that question and they roll their eyes, you know, what are the good responses you get? Yeah, I know them. Yeah, they're great. Yes, things are working, you know, and then you get the, well, I don't know, or that's somebody else's job or, you know, because I remember there were times when when in the restaurant industry that when the servers and the hostesses and they knew the answers to those kinds of questions when customers would ask, because you weren't always asking the owner or the manager that handled it. But when they knew those answers, I always found that to be really good.
Yeah.
Because then that meant that they were in there and they had that relationship with them. And
that's right. They're patronizing the business.
Yeah.
They're in it. They're always asking. You're right.
Yeah. So if you don't have those signs in your business, that's where we call you guys, right?
Right.
Yeah. So where do I do that?
Well, you can, our phone number, Joel, give me your phone number. You're local.
Yeah.
My phone number is 850-485-9546.
Okay.
I just want to kind of piggyback off of a lot of what you're saying and take it in a little different direction for just a minute. I think we need to realize in business, networking really is where it's at. Getting to know people before you even look at them as a business partner or as someone that you're going to do business with.
Right.
And there's a lot of very good networking groups out there.
Sure.
Right now, and you just need to get to know people and stuff. And anyone in business, I just want to put this out there, anyone in business, if you want to grow your business and especially in sales and stuff like that, network.
Yeah.
Cold calling, people don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
They don't, I mean, they get hit up 100 times by probably people in your same industry,
yeah.
if not by, you know, other people that same day. And it hurts a little bit because, when you go in and you try to talk to them and stuff like that, you know, someone's in a music industry or has a record company or whatever they're doing because they like music.
Right.
Or they're selling, you know, at a restaurant because they like food and they like to prepare food and create that for people. They're not in that business to do the merchant service stuff.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, networking, getting to know people, getting to know the person that's going to do that with you, that does do that with you.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's invaluable.
Yeah, I agree. I think you, especially with things like what you guys are doing and like we've been talking about, if you don't have that relationship, I'm not buying merchant services from your company. I'm buying the service from Danny or from Joel,
right.
or, you know, the person that's going to be there.
Right.
Exactly.
So,
but a good source to add to that phone number is our website and it's joel-freeman.com
yep.
or dannymortimer.com, which all come back to cardpaymentsolutions.com.
Yeah.
And you can read about our company and see who we are.
Man, we'll put those links on our website as well, so people will be able to find it through ours too.
Excellent.
So, cool. So we're gonna move into Pam here because Pam does. You're everywhere. And I said this to her last time, and she said something that just hit me because I was like, "Pam, you guys are everywhere," and she goes, "And that means I'm doing my job." So, and I was like, "You know what? That's exactly right." So, you know, you're the guru here. Feel free to start wherever you like, but Pen Air is huge. And I know you guys do so many things that some people don't even realize.
Yeah, Pen Air, we're actually getting ready to turn 80 years old in April.
Yeah.
And if I don't say so myself, I think we look pretty fabulous.
Yeah, ole.
So we started back in 1936, focusing on serving civil service for about 30 years. And then we added the military. And then we started getting into what we call select employer groups. And we partner with various businesses throughout our local community. And if they become a select employer group, then you and your employees and their family members can become members.
So I don't have to necessarily be military or DOT or...
Not at all. And we found this to be a constant battle when we were coming and doing our advertising. So we, about 2 years ago, decided to do some focus groups. And we did some surveys and we brought in a professional to do this. And we had various focus groups come in. Military, non-military members, non-members, older, younger.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of research and a lot of detail. And we found out that we had a lot of equity in being local. And we had a huge amount of equity being associated with the military.
But right.
we also had a lot of exclusivity being associated with the military.
Right.
Anyone who is in this area, it is just part of your DNA to be associated with the
yeah.
military. Over 60% sure. of the population has a family member or knows someone
yeah.
that has served in the military. 10% of the retirees in the state of Florida are military.
Yeah.
I mean,
and all the training that comes through here.
And
so
you would be crazy to turn your back on that. And we love our military. We have a dedicated staff to focus on mm-hmm. all things military. We give more money locally mm-hmm. to the military than any other financial institution and most institutions or businesses in the area. It's very important. It's part of our economy, and it's a huge focus. But it was such a detractor for people when they looked at our logo because we had that jet going mm-hmm. through it. And a lot of people associate it with the Blue Angels, but right. it was never a Blue Angels jet. It was so funny.
Different branch.
Yeah. But we had that jet in our logo. And so people automatically thought you had to be military in order to join. And so after collecting all of this data and doing a lot of research and everything, we decided to take that next step and do a rebrand. And so we wanted something that was very representative of our community. We are a very collaborative community, and we are a very collaborative company. If our community is healthy, then business is healthy.
Yeah.
And if business is healthy, the community is healthy because you have the ability and the resources and the funds to give back. But we wanted it to be a place that was warm and approachable and collaborative and inviting. And we knew through our research that our members trusted us and they respected us. And those words kept coming up a lot in the surveys. And so we built our brand on the foundation of respect. And we actually have a personality. And our personality is defined in three words. It's honorable, generous, and spirited. One of the questions through a lot of our research was, if Pennair was a drink, what would it be? And it was surprisingly, overwhelmingly called sweet tea.
That'll work.
Yeah, and it was that refreshing, casual, approachable kind of experience. So how do you convey that in, you know, a logo and a brand? So. Yeah. We like everybody else that's doing business, whether you're a restaurant or a retailer, there are a lot of financial institution choices in here,
sure.
but we know people trust and respect us. So we wanted to make sure that we may convey the message that we valued that and that we understood that. So through the rebrand process, we, looked at a lot of different options, a lot of different opportunities, but we wanted to create this relative distinction, something that would stand out, that would separate us from the pack. And the final product is what we came up with. And a lot of people want to know what that icon in our logo means. Mm-hmm. And there really is no definition. We've kind of evolved over the last couple months since the rebrand in June to it kind of representing a circle of trust.
Yeah.
And it's very diverse, and it has four different colors in it, and it shows movement and approachability. And for me personally, when I really stare at it for a long time, it's got a square contingency to that roundness. And for me, it almost looks like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, mm-hmm. which is a lot of what people deal with on a day-to-day, trying to make the ends meet. And we are a company that celebrates your achievements, no matter how big or how small they are. And it's important for us to be there no matter where you're at during your financial journey along the way. And we are a resource that, you know, banks are required to do certain things in low to moderate income areas and make so many loans and do so much financial education.
Yeah, they have quotas to meet.
Yeah.
Sure.
The credit union world in general is all about people helping people. That's what it was all started on. And one of our huge focuses is education and financial literacy, because if you can educate people, most students, when they graduate from high school, it's a 70% something and some change are financially illiterate.
Yeah. Don't know how to balance a checkbook mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a major focus on us. For us, we've been in the Escambia and Santa Rosa schools working really hard, providing tools and resources and partnering with the teachers and stuff like that. And then when kids go off to college, that 70-some percent, it's like, I think it's like 78, 73 or 78 sticks in my head. It drops to about 68%. So when you graduate from college, you're still financially illiterate.
Yeah.
So, so knowing those things, leveraging tools and resources, making ourselves available, we give our staff 5 hours a month to volunteer. We've got four corporate values, and one of our favorite corporate values, not that, you know, the other ones are any less than, but one of our favorite ones is Commuterosity. And it's where community.
I was wondering how you pronounce that. I saw that up here.
Yeah. It's where I like to say generosity and community had a baby and they named it Commuterosity.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. And so right now we're doing a campaign called Give a Click on social media through Facebook. And we've, each one of our branches and our departments, there's 25 nonprofits that we've reached out to partner with to kind of create awareness about their organization.
Sure.
And we're just asking people to give a click each day. You go in once, you can vote once every 24 hours and vote for your favorite wreath. And we are going to donate funds to help at the end of the year to those organizations that have the most clicks at the end of the 2-week period, which is December 15th.
Very cool. So, and I think that's the biggest thing when I said you guys are everywhere is that, you know, when you say, well, Penner, yeah, we're a credit union. I'm like, okay, they do that too. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yes, they do that, but you guys, you're there, and you were saying it. You're in the community. You're doing all these events. You're a face to the name. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't think of Pam without thinking of Penair. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, to me, that I think that's a very unique business model that has not only done really good things for the community, but obviously works.
Right.
You know, and truly puts what I think is happening in this community, especially, is that whole be active, be part of it,
be committed,
and meet the people, know the people, get to see who you're living with, and the other stuff will happen.
Right,
and it will always happen.
Right.
But that being an honest to goodness part of it needs to be the focus.
Keith, I've always said if you do the right thing for the right reason, the right results always come.
Exactly.
And local matters. Local military matters. Local matters. There's a lot of great people that work for larger financial institutions or larger corporations that live here locally, and they matter too. But for us, you know, our focus is locally focused.
Yeah.
It's not globally focused. It's not regionally focused. It truly is locally focused. We focus on Escambia, San Rosa, and Baldwin County. And that doesn't mean that we don't have members that move here and become a member and take off and go somewhere else. They still stay with us.
Yep.
And that's okay. And that's the great thing about technology. You can still maintain those relationships and be that partner for people. But it is important for us to do as much business as physically possible locally with our partners, with our vendors, you know, and it was really important to me, especially after doing Leadership Pensacola.
Yeah.
I was like, morally struggling because I was like, we try to say we're local, but we're not. So
right.
That was a catalyst for me to make a career change and work for a financial institution locally. There's something about working for a company where your moral values line up with that company.
Yeah.
It is a game changer.
Mm-hmm. And you don't hear a lot of people say that these days. You really don't. And I mean, I'm finding more and more people saying it, but I can't remember the last time.
There's a definite movement nowadays.
Yes.
I mean, generosity based. You're going to hear that throughout most of the networking groups. Again, networking.
Yeah.
Get in where you fit in, right?
Yeah.
But you're hearing that now. And I mean, true principles are true principles. Mm-hmm. And whether you use them in your religion, whether you use them in your politics or your business or whatever, if you use it, it's going to work.
Right.
And generosity based is definitely how to grow a business.
Yeah.
Yeah. We look for that communerosity character in people when we, through our hiring process, and we have an onboarding process, and we give people time to like try out and make, we feel like when we make an offer to hire you, that you are a good fit for Penair, but we want to make sure that you.
You mean I got a trial run?
Yeah.
Awesome.
But we want to make sure that you also feel like after you go through this onboarding process that this is for you. And there's an opportunity for both ways to say, I don't think it's going to work, and let's help you find a job somewhere else.
You know, and that is huge because in the restaurant industry, a part of life, we did that. We weren't supposed to. Of course, our HR company would always call and say, oh, you need to full on have them on board. But for us, it was like, well, we need to make sure that you're good. And it was such an estranged thing 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
And the you guys have built it into your policy, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great idea. How much turnover has lowered because you guys have been doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some people at first that, you know, they're like, what does this mean? Yeah. And they get scared.
Am I going to get paid for those days?
Yeah. 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 But, you know, we invest a lot of money into our employees and we have great benefits, and, it truly is a joy to go to work. We have some great people that truly love this community. And we just want more people to be involved in that and to join this movement of communerosity and do that with us. And so we've got some great ideas planned for next year to incorporate more of this communerosity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we value service and we value strength and we value financial solutions. And it's just like going to the doctor. You go to the doctor, I have these ailments, my throat hurts, my back aches, you know what, you know, and the doctor makes a recommendation. It's up to you to take that medicine. Well, it's the same thing with your financial institution. And we just want to be that financial advisor. You come in and say, I need a checking account. Well, we need to ask you a couple questions to make sure that that's really what you need. Because there may be services that you aren't even aware of that we provide. And we find that a lot of times because
which percentage of you were you when you graduated high school?
Yeah. You know, and a lot of people, you know, think, oh, go to the credit union and get a car loan. Well, we do mortgages. We do investments. We have HSA accounts. We have credit cards. We do the gamut. As a matter of fact, right now we have a great credit card program promotion going on. It's at 3.99 on a new credit card or on your existing credit card on all balance transfers, purchases, or cash advances. There's no annual fee, no balance transfer fee, and you can take advantage of that through February 29th, and all your purchases or transfers and everything that you do up to that point, you receive that rate till the end of December of next year. That's what we do. We put cash back in your pocket.
Yeah, and some education to go with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what's next? like what's your next event that you guys are doing? Because let's talk about some of the other ones you guys did. I saw a golf tournament.
Yeah, we have an annual golf tournament where we partner with the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society. And if you come in and you don't think you can join, you can make a one-time donation of $3 to the Navy Marine Corps, the Friends of the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society. And their focus is helping members of the Navy and the Marine Corps financially. And you can become a member just by doing that. And what a great thing. $3, you can help change someone's life.
Yeah.
But we do an annual golf tournament with that. We are doing stuff like all the time. We just did the
5K. You're like never in the office either.
I know. We just did the runway 5K with the USO.
How was that?
It was great. The weather couldn't have been more perfect.
Yeah. It's cool to run out on that strip, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's great to, you know, help the USO. We provided all the turkeys to feed 1,200 military men and women who couldn't go home for the holidays. And
by the way,
if
you're not aware, that's a lot of turkey.
That's a lot of turkey. A lot of turkey.
It was like 300 or 400 of them, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was I'm trying to.
It was a lot.
It was about 160 turkeys and then.
Hams and some other stuff. All kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah. All these numbers in my head.
I know, right?
Trying to remember.
So, so we did turkey, the runway. So what's next?
We are actually in January, we're doing a wills and probate seminar. We're going to be doing a lot more education and providing those kind of resources. You know, when we did the rebrand, we also upgraded our mobile app and our website. So I've learned a lot of stuff lately and just kind of always looking for the most recent tools and resources to help us stay on that cutting edge of technology. We have got probably I've worked in the financial industry for 26 years and I've had 25 bosses in 26 years.
Wow.
One of my bosses who was fabulous, I had for 6 years straight. She is a dear friend to this day, but I can honestly say we have probably one of the best executive senior leadership teams. Mm-hmm. Everybody's committed. Everybody cares. Everybody wants to make a difference and to be like-minded like that and try and make an impact on our community. It's wonderful.
Well, so. And you're doing it. I mean, it's working. So I think one of the things I'm still wrapping my head around here is that you can get – how does a business become – eligible to have its employees be members?
You can reach out to our business development officer, Lindsay Dury, and you can go to pinair.org/business solutions and all the information is there. But there is a team of three people. They actually report to me and they go out and do business development. And There's just a simple little letter to go and send to the NCUA to meet the criteria. And then once you do that, then we kind of take that burden as a partner off of your HR. We fill in as that HR, and we provide, when you have a company that has employees that are financially fit or healthy, your turnover goes down, there's a lot less stress at home. And so we can come in and provide face-to-face seminars on any kind of topic that you can think of. And so we're really ramping up that part of our business right now.
What a huge benefit that you can add to
It's making life easy for those businesses and helping educate their staff so that they can make better decisions no matter what they decide to do. But once you become onboarded as a select employer group, then you can then offer, your employees can become members of the credit union and take advantage of all these resources and tools that we have and all the lower cost products and services. We also have a lot of benefits, like, you know, discounts on your cell phone through Sprint. You can get discounts on Allied vans moving. We ADT protection for your home, because the credit union gathers together and partners with these vendors. We can offer these discounts as part of our products and services.
Wait, you mean a local business partners with other local businesses to bring great rates on local business?
Yeah.
What a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great concept.
So if you guys are out in the community and stuff so much, and I know you guys have all these events, what's the next thing you need help with?
I probably just, you know, you don't have to be a member to join in on that whole generosity.
Yeah.
And so if you see something that's going on, help us spread the word, because it truly, you know, we get a recognition for it and all that, but that's not the core of why we do it.
Yeah.
Because it goes back to doing the right thing for the right reason and serving others first, which is one of our core values. You know, our core values are a pro knows, K-N-O-W. So, you know better and you have knowledge.
Sure.
And you serve first and you have communerosity. And then the fourth one is, let me think. I'm totally.
I put you on the spot.
My favorite one.
Yeah.
Next to communerosity, being a solution seeker.
Yeah.
You got to figure out a way to make
or
that
make
happen.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether it's over the mountain, under the mountain, around the mountain,
or through the mountain. That's it.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we're getting close to sort of the end of our episode here. So I just want to make sure, is there anything that we've missed that we know we need to cover between anybody here?
Local matters.
Other than the local matters and the fritters that are in my office, we're going to get after that. Yeah.
you mentioned something about the matching up morally and ethically with the company that you're working with. That's exactly why Joel and I are with Card Payment Solutions.
Yeah, because it's a differentiator.
Yeah, it's huge. And a few decades ago, was a loan officer at a credit union.
Really?
And I really enjoyed that time.
Yeah.
And they treat their customers members.
Yes. Yes.
Is that still traditional? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Yep.
Instead of customers.
You get voting rights at the annual meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really a cool way to do business that way.
And Pennair is in our family too.
Right. And our board, we're governed by a board of directors, but they're volunteered. They don't get paid.
Yeah.
They strictly volunteer.
And they all live here.
Yeah. And they're all local.
Yeah.
It's hashtag local matters.
Yeah. There you go. So, well, one more time, let's just go around. Let's let everybody know where they can contact everybody again.
DannyMortimer.com. My number is 864-386-7074. And it's Card Payment Solutions.
Go ahead, Joel.
Okay, Joel Freeman, joel-freeman.com, 850-485-9546. And I try to be as many
networking events as you can.
and out in the community doing stuff, so hopefully I can see you guys there too.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. All right, Pam, lay it on us.
Pennair.org. My direct email is pam@pennair.org. And, you know, we got 15 branches, so come by and see us.
Yeah, walk on in, huh?
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, and you can reach us at Pecola Radio X on Twitter, at Pensacola Facebook, Pensacola Business Radio X on Facebook, or at pensacola.businessradiox.com. I want to thank all three of you for coming in and hanging out, and we're going to have apple fritters. So.
Heck yeah, let's go.
Guys, this has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.